Blog Talk Radio.
When it comes to talk shows, my friend Harvey's all ears, especially when it comes to listening to Rich Rossi Live.
Welcome to Richard Rossi Live. We have a powerful story of transformation today. Wow. There's a film called The Courage to Love. As many of you know, I'm a filmmaker of narrative dramatic films as well as documentaries, so I'm always interested in seeing a really good film. And this film was called The Courage to Love, and the director did a wonderful job. And one of the stories in the film, there were three main stories, was a lovely lady named Sylvia. And she is joining me today and speak about courage. The film's Courage to Love. She courageously is going to share her story today. Her past, she doesn't hide it. She was a former sex worker, which involved, as you'll learn from her story, everything from sensual massage to prostitution to stripping. And she's had a tremendous miracle of coming out of that whole world. And now, talk about 180-degree turnaround, she now educates in a non-shaming way when men are busted for being John, soliciting prostitutes. For first-time offenders, she now speaks to them in a program, teaches them how to not objectify women, and speaks as a part of this program, FOPP, First Offender Prostitution Project. What brought her into the whole world of being a sex worker? How did she get out? This will be one of the most interesting, you know, half hours of radio you'll ever hear. So I'll be right back with my guest, Sylvia Perry, her story as a sex worker and her journey to get out and to get healed and to be able to welcome love and healthy relationships into her life now. Be right back in 20 seconds. Don't go anywhere and share this link with others to tune in to Richard Rossi Live. Right back with Sylvia.
Look, smoke signals. I wonder what they say.
Me read him, Kimosami. Let's see, they say, don't forget to listen to Rich Rossi Live.
So that's it. Sounds like a wise thing to do. Quick, we better find ourselves a radio.
I owe Rich Rossi Live!
Welcome back to Richard Rossi Live, and hopefully I have Sylvia live, and she can hear me, and I can hear you. Welcome, Sylvia. Sylvia, can you hear me? Hello, Sylvia. I'm not sure why we're not hearing Sylvia on here. Okay, let's try that again. I'm sorry for the technical delay, folks. Seems like I may have lost Sylvia, and I'm not sure what happened there. Let's try that again, and thank you for your patience, everybody.
I don't mean to bother you, Doc, but it's a mystery to me why it took so long to get this show on the air. It suddenly ties up all the loose ends with Christian talk. Gee, my wife just loves this show, Doc.
Well, thank you, Columbo, and thank you, everyone, for your patience with our technical issues. Sylvia, can you hear me?
I'm not Sylvia.
Okay, I'm sorry. We're having some technical difficulties. Thank you for your patience, everybody. Our website has our radio website here has had a little technical glitch, so hang in there with me, everybody. And we'll be with you hopefully very soon. Okay, let's try this again. I had Sylvia on the line, and then our website is kind of going a little nutty here. Thank you for your patience, everybody. Sylvia was in a film called The Courage to Love, and I had her on the line, and then somehow the wires were crossed, and this has never happened before, but our phone system with the radio show is dialing wrong numbers. We're putting in her number, and it's somehow dialing wrong numbers. So thanks for your patience. I know dead air and waiting is not the easiest thing in the world, but hopefully we'll have her on real, real soon. So everyone send me some prayers and good vibes that this technical thing has overcome here, whatever's going on. From the minute I went in to do the show today, there was just a lot of weird technical things going on. We had problems dialing out, then I did finally get Sylvia, and now we're having problems getting her back. So hang in there, and we'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for your patience.
Attention! All you radio listeners, I want you to listen. Now, if you're like me, you want a show with spirit. Why, set your sights on Rich Rossi Live. That's all. At ease.
Hey, Richard.
Oh, I got you, Sylvia.
Hey, hi.
Oh, man, I've never had this happen. Our radio show system, hopefully they can hear you live now. Our radio show system was dialing the wrong numbers and crossing wires. I had someone that was not you, and I have no idea who they were. It was dialing wrong numbers, and we have you live, I think. Let me just verify that, and thank you to all our listeners for your patience. Here we go. So I think within a few seconds, hopefully everyone's hearing you.
Good.
Yeah, technical difficulties.
Oh, boy.
You know, I tell you, doing thousands of shows, I've never had it where somehow we couldn't do the show, that something went so wrong, we couldn't do the show. There's been a couple times something like this happened where we had a glitch, but...
Yeah, we'll just keep trying until we get it right.
Yeah. So if you just hang on there, Sylvia, I just want to absolutely verify you're live and everyone else is hearing you, but it looks good.
Sylvia's voicemail. Please leave a happy, joyful...
Okay, this looks good.
Oh, my God,
like...
you've got my voicemail now. Huh.
Okay, now we've got you live.
Please record your message. When you've finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Bye.
Now it's like
at the tone, please record your message. When you've finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Hey, you've reached Sylvia's voicemail. Please
Gosh, I'm getting my voicemail over and over. Can you hear that?
Yeah, now it's doing that because...
at the tone, please record your message. When you've finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Should I hang up and you want to call me back again? Or?
No, I think I've got you good now. Now we hear you. Now you're live. Thank you, everybody, for your patience.
Okay.
You may have a long voicemail on this show. I don't know, but at least we got you live now.
Okay.
So here we are. Welcome, everyone. The system's going nuts. I don't know if Memorial Day, no one's there, and everybody's off picnicking and barbecuing, and nobody's helping us. So we are live. We're finally getting to this amazing story. Now, Sylvia, I think everybody can hear you now. Those of you listening out there, send me some messages on Facebook or to our show email, richardrossilive@gmail, and just let me know that you can hear Sylvia okay, because it's Memorial Day, and everybody that normally helps me is off at picnics and barbecues and things like that. So somebody out there, let me know you can hear me and you can hear Sylvia, please. And let's jump right into it. Okay, great. I just got a message. They're telling me we can hear you. Can you hear Sylvia? Let me know if you can hear Sylvia. Sylvia, you're with us, right? Oh, did we lose Sylvia again? You got to be kidding me. Okay, let's see if we got Sylvia. Sylvia, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Great. Okay, I think we got Sylvia back.
Oh, good. Okay.
Oh, so all this crazy.
Woo!
They tell me I just lost her. Do I have her back? Can you hear Sylvia now? Would you talk, Sylvia?
Yes. Hello. Hi. Sylvia Perry, Courage to Love. Yay.
Courage
Safe
to
house.
Love. Sylvia Perry. You hear that beautiful voice? Yay.
Hi.
She's back. Finally.
Yay.
Okay.
Oh, terrific.
This is tough because I got to be honest with you, Sylvia. I am not a techie, you know. I started this radio show in 1991 on terrestrial radio and 101.5, and I always had to have an engineer pushing buttons. It's just not my thing, and here I am all by myself on Memorial Day. But we're starting into our story 10 minutes late. That's not too bad. But let's get right to it, Sylvia. Tell us a little bit about your family of origin. It seems, not to sound too Freudian, but it seems like a lot of times when we have difficulty with healthy, you know, experiencing love and or sex in a healthy way, that there's something a little off in our childhood. What was your family like growing up? What was your childhood like growing up?
Well, it was difficult and chaotic. I had a mom, a dad, two stepmothers, and a stepfather. There were stepchildren, and everyone was practicing like one kind of addiction or another. It was tough. It was really hard. So I grew up confused, and
you have reached the maximum time permitted for recording your message. If you're satisfied with the message, press 1. To listen to your message, press 2. To erase and re-record, press 3.
Okay, I'm
sorry. Can you hear me
now?
Your
voicemail was triggered, but you just keep going. We'll just ignore that.
If you're satisfied with the message, press 1. To listen to your message, press 2. To erase and re-record, press 3.
Hopefully that stops at some point here. I'm afraid to press anything because I don't want to lose you again.
If you're satisfied with the message, press 1. To listen to your message, press 2. To erase and re-record, press 3.
I don't know why you're getting my voicemail, but I'm going to go ahead and read you my FOTP.
Sorry you're having trouble. Your message has been sent. Please try again later. Goodbye.
Okay, goodbye. It just said goodbye, so we're done. We got you.
Okay.
So did you say you wanted me to read? Did you say you wanted to read something, Sylvia?
Yes. Hold on 1 second.
Okay. Yeah, it's been one of those days. We're getting settled now. I'm glad you're all with me here. I had a bit of a fall this week and hit my head, so I'm probably not quite as sharp as I normally am otherwise.
It's
but I think we're on track now.
I'm good to go. Okay, so here's my FOPP rap. I wrote it myself. Hello, my name is Sylvia Perry. 13 years ago, I was in and out of prostitution for 12 years. I was an exotic dancer, a sensual massage person, and a prostitute, and it was so damaging. And towards the end of those 12 years, I thought about killing myself daily. So what helped me get out? Gosh, so many things and a combination of all, really. I tried to fix myself with talk therapy. It was a good start, and my denial was so strong. I spent hours in the ceramics room trying to mold clay with my hands into healthful living. Hours on the yoga mat, my body spitting out sweat, and going to sometimes 3 12-step meetings a day because I did not know how to be comfortable in the world. I was not an alcoholic or a drug addict, and I was high on sugar and flour and caffeine all the time. And later I realized I was a food addict and a sex addict. I got free from food addiction through FA, Food Addicts and Recovery Anonymous, and started addressing sex addiction and sexual abuse. And that took a big minute. Also, relapse is a big part of my story. And what helped the most was moving into Safe House, a halfway house for women leaving prostitution. And Reverend Glenda Hope, who ran Network Ministries out of the Tenderloin in San Francisco for 30 years, created Safe House. And she was inspired to do this because
Sylvia?
Was a year.
Sylvia,
yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Some of the people are saying you dropped. So let's do something.
Oh,
can you call into me? Can you hang up and call me back at a number?
Yes, let me get that number.
Okay. Do you need something to write with?
I've got it. Go for it.
I just want to make sure everyone's hearing you. If this don't work, I'll call you right back. Call 347-637-2379. 347-637-2379.
I'll call you right back. Bye-bye.
347-637-2379. Okay, thanks, Sarah. We'll call right back. Thank you, listeners, letting me know that some of you have dropped Sylvia. Okay. Now I know one of the major problems. I'm getting a message from a robot here that in observance of Memorial Day, our radio support is completely closed. There's no techies working, and it's normally on. You know, somebody's there to help us. So being a holiday, I didn't even think about this being a Memorial Day now. Sylvia's called me back in. Okay, Sylvia,
here
can
I
you
am.
Hear me?
Hi. I can. Hi.
A robot. Okay, now let's see. I'm going to check with our listeners. Can you hear Sylvia? Can you all
hey
hear
there.
Sylvia?
Hi.
Great. Okay. Solved. Okay. A robot just sent me a message that no one's there to help us technically, and it's closed, all the technical support staff. But I think we've done our work around Sylvia. Would you mind starting your reading that again?
Absolutely. No problem. Love to. Okay. So
okay.
I read this. I present once every 2 months for the city of San Francisco to men that get arrested for soliciting prostitutes. And
mm-hmm.
this is what I wrote, and this is what I present. Hello, my name is Sylvia Perry, and 13 years ago, I was in and out of prostitution for 12 years. I was an exotic dancer, a sensual massage person, and a prostitute, and it was so damaging. And towards the end of those 13 years, I thought about killing myself daily. So what helped me get out? Gosh, so many things and a combination of all, really. I tried to fix myself with talk therapy. It was a good start, and my denial was so strong. And I spent hours in the ceramics room trying to mold clay with my hands into healthful living, hours on my yoga mat, my body spitting out sweat, and going to sometimes 3 12-step meetings a day because I did not know how to be comfortable in the world. And I was not an alcoholic or a drug addict, and I was high on sugar, flour, and caffeine all the time, like I was always eating sugar. And later I realized I was a food addict and a sex addict. And I got free from food addiction and started addressing sex addiction and sexual abuse, and that took a minute. Also, relapse is a big part of my story. What helped the most was moving into Safe House, a halfway house for women leaving prostitution. And Reverend Glenda Hope, who ran Network Ministries out of the Tenderloin for 30 years, created Safe House. And she was inspired to do this because there was a year where 8 street prostitutes were brutally murdered. Okay, so I've never been in jail or done hard drugs, but everyone else living at Safe House was coming right from jail or the street. And so when they encouraged me to go back and take some college courses, a lot of my housemates were learning to read. And I feel that I'm a voice for the women who had it 10 times rougher than me on the street, addicted to heroin and crack. And I speak for Giselle, who had been raped dozens of times by the time she was 12 and walking the street selling herself. I speak for Rosetta. Her grandma started selling her out of the house at age 15 for crack. I speak for myself. I was a scared, neglected, abused child who fell through the cracks of society. It was instilled in me that I did not matter and that I was disposable. So Safe House was my first parenting experience, really. I turned 40 in there.
Mm.
Lynette celebrated her 60th. I wish you could meet these women. They were such wonderful women. Wonderful. And while I was living at Safe House, I started attending adult survivors of childhood sexual, physical, mental abuse, ASCA, A-S-C-A. You can Google that. It's a trauma survivors group. And Standing Against Global Exploitation, SAGE, that was created by Norma Hoteling, her family started selling her out of Central Park when she was 5.
Wow.
And so she was a prostitute for a long time. She ended up in jail. And she just put her foot down. She's like, when I get out of jail, I'm going to go to college. I'm going to get educated. And she did. And then she started SAGE. And it was a day program for women leaving prostitution. And it was amazing.
Mm.
So I'm a graduate of Safe House and Sage. And for the last 13 years, I've been a public speaker for the city of San Francisco that started the First Offender Prostitution Project, FOPP. And I help educate men that have been arrested for soliciting prostitutes. MSNBC did a show on FOPP, and it was part of a three-part series, Sex Slaves in America, and I'm so glad I was part of that. And whenever I'm at the FOPP class teaching, and I'm like, aren't you glad you didn't take that class? And they look at each other like, oh, yeah, because, like, all the men were filmed and right on TV, and this one,
wow.
You know, and the guys in there, like, everybody, Latinos, black guys, Asian, they have interpreters. And it's all across the economic, like the janitors to the CEO, like everybody's in there. And
what do you think changes the guys when they hear you, Sylvia, that they say, you know, hey, I'm never going to hire a prostitute again? Is it the humanization and seeing you as a person, seeing the woman as a person, that to not objectify? Is it the recognition of the kind of background so many prostitutes have been incested or raped or abused? What do you think it is? What goes off in their head that makes them say, oh my God, I thought this was a victimless crime. I thought it's no big deal. I'm no one's being hurt by this. She gets money, I get sex. I mean, what shifts in them when they hear you at the First Offender Prostitution Project, when you talk to the Johns?
Well, I think it's because I tell my story, and it's so obvious that I've been through so much, and I remind them that women that have the capacity to prostitute, again, usually have been raped or incested, and that they're people, that they have their own story. And throughout the day, there are other presenters there, and we remind them that they have to put on a show. Like, so many times, somebody asked me if I did any acting recently, and I'm like, well, yeah. I didn't explain why. But you have to make it palatable when you're a prostitute.
You could win an Academy Award. You had to act, several times a night with each guy that came in a sense.
You do. You have to put on a good show to get that money. And what they don't know is the backstory is like abuse, child abuse, sexual abuse. You know, I remind them, hey, you don't know where they've been, what they've been through. And maybe they look beautiful and manicured and pedicured and speak well, but you don't know if they're pimped, if they're trafficked, if they're doing it on their own and just crazy, if they're a drug addict, if they're a food addict, if they're a sex addict. And anyone that is, I feel that anyone that's in that trade isn't well. I mean, you wouldn't want your mom or your sister to do that. You wouldn't sell your daughter. Do you know what I mean? You wouldn't want the love of your life doing that stuff. And it always sounds good on paper. I tell the men, give you, and I forgive myself. There's a lot in the media that encourages and glamorizes, and porn, oh my God, we're learning that porn is how we're supposed to have sex. And it's really not. It's entertainment. And it's not even that. I consider porn filmed prostitution. I consider porn filmed sexual abuse. And people don't want to hear that. You know what I mean? Anyway.
And the woman is so often demonized. You know, it's like the old biblical story where the woman's caught in adultery and they're ready to stone her, but the man's not there, and Jesus says, let him that's without sin throw the first stone. But going back to that story 2,000 years ago, so often the woman is seen as bad, and the man is gets a pass. I mean, even with famous politicians and everything and porn stars, it's like the woman, oh, she's just a slut and a porn star, and, don't listen to her, and the powerful man is given a little bit more of a pass.
You know, I recommend books in my presentation, and the first book I recommend is called The John, Sex for Sale and the Men Who Buy It by Victor Malarek.
And well, can you give us that title again?
Absolutely. The Johns, Sex for
the
Sale John. And the
John,
the John,
Sex for Sale.
The Johns, Sex for Sale and the Men John. Who Buy It
uh-huh.
by Victor Malarek. He would be a great person to interview. And he says, the quote that I love the most is he says, prostitution is not the oldest profession, it's the oldest oppression.
Wow.
And a lot of people say, oh, you're not, you know, why are you even talking, you know, it's the oldest profession. And I quote that every time. And then I tell them, hey, I'm for the liberation of women, men, children, transgender from porn and prostitution. Say that three times fast. I'm for the liberation of women, men, children, transgender from porn and prostitution. That's what I stand. I want to see this end in this lifetime. I think there are better things for our children, for our brothers and sisters to do than prostitute themselves.
Now, when
Seriously.
You were growing up, was there a deprivation of love and or a sexualization of you in the sense of being exposed to, you know, sexual material, be it pornography or molestation and or a lack of kind of getting that love in a healthy way from your parents?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, my dad left. Well, I found out later my mom kicked my dad out when I was six. And then I'd go visit him every other weekend. But he had, like, pornographic images collaged onto the refrigerator. There was porn in the house. The first time I got high was off of his marijuana at 11. Like, I started
wow.
checking out early. Yeah, I started getting high when I was 11. I started drinking when I was 13. That's what I was modeled. Check out. Don't feel anything.
Mm. So as a child, you're you know, numbing out and, you know, exposed to things at a time that should be an innocent time for a child, you're exposed to things you're not mature enough to handle in terms of all the pornography on the fridge and laying around or whatever, and craving that attention. So that sexual, I mean, I know the childhood's part of it, but I wonder if when we talk about the addictive side with any drug, even sex, there's that dopamine rush, that adrenaline rush, that oxytocin. So there's probably a rush when we're young and we're exposed to that stuff, there's something physiological that happens that entraps us as well as that needing that love and, you know, that attention. So this was kind of this cocktail that then probably sucked you in a bit when you were now, as you enter adulthood, you started, was it in like your 20s or so that you became a sex worker professionally?
You know, I was really traumatized by everything. I just couldn't get it together. And I started late. Like, I started when I was 28. Like, I got married too young and that didn't work. And then I was looking for work and I just didn't have any, I went to three different high schools. I didn't have skills. Like, you know, when the internet came out, everyone had email. I didn't even have an email. Like, I was just so lost and so traumatized. Gosh. Yes. And then I saw, I was living in San Jose, and I saw an ad, masseuses wanted, must be physically fit and a great personality. And I was just like, I couldn't, I'm like, okay, well, oh, no experience needed, we'll train you. So I went
no
down
experience
there
needed,
and
we'll train you.
Yeah.
So they're not being upfront about the fact that this could be a front for prostitution. It's making it
That's
sound like
right.
a legit masseuse situation.
Oh, dude. It was I went down there, and they took one look at me. They're like, you're hired. Come back tomorrow. So I came back.
So they saw your
day.
Looks, and that was all it took.
That was all it took. They're like, you're hired. They talked to me for 5 minutes. They're like, come back tomorrow. Because I, you know, I was young and beautiful, long blonde. I was like what the media proposes is pretty. Blonde hair, green eyes, tan skin. And I always got kudos for the way I looked and never anything about my intellect. So I went back the next day, and they showed me how to do a massage, and then they gave me a massage, and then I did three massages that day. Wow. I can't believe it. I started working for them. Yeah, that was
I know we're kind of in the middle of your first act, but people are sending in questions. By the way, if you want to send in questions, we've had so many technical problems that I'm going to, we may go a little bit over. Some of you may lose us when we go over time, and our show ends in about 15 minutes or so. But if we go a bit over, some of you in some states may lose us, but then you can always click the replay and hear the end. Someone's sending in a question at 323-819-3074 on line two. With all the technical things, I don't know if this is someone calling in with a comment or question or if it's a technical glitch, but just one second, Sylvia. At 323-819 is the first three digits. You're on the show live, hopefully. We've been having some technical problems. Who's this at 323-819?
Yeah, this is Chuck. How you doing, Richard? I'm a big fan of your show.
Oh, thanks, Chuck. Did you have a question about the show or a comment?
Yeah, question one, are you ever going to have Jeff Beck or any guitar players on there?
Oh, yes, okay. We will be having some guitar players on. Thanks for calling in. Thanks for calling in, Chuck. Would you have a question for Sylvia about her journey?
Did you ever work on the Internet or anything like that? Did you ever website or anything like that?
Oh, he's asking if you did, as a sex worker, ever did anything on the Internet.
So I advertised on the Internet, cityvibe.com.
You advertised on the Internet?
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you advertised, was it made it look a little bit more above board, like it was a massage, but then they get the happy ending when they get there and find out about it? But was there way you had to code it somewhat so that you didn't say right out what you were doing?
No, so cityvibe, I had pictures of myself nude, and that's it. Yeah.
Oh, okay, that's
one of those freebie papers
that's very explicit, yeah.
It wasn't a paper, it was online.
Oh, it was online, okay. Okay, well, thank you for your question, Chuck. Thank you for calling in. I'm a guitar player, so Chuck was asking about some of the guitar players that come on the show. But anybody else, send in your questions. You can call in, as Chuck did, to the number. And I'm feeling a little frazzled because no one's here technically, so I'm a little bit paranoid that everything's working technically. But the number here is 347-637-2379. And by the way, Sylvia, we'd love to have you back another time, which wouldn't be as chaotic. I'm so sorry about this.
Absolutely.
I was filming about 12 hours straight and was just physically exhausted, jumping around playing a character in a film that was very physical. And then I went to soak in a tub, in the hot tub. Yeah, you know, to help my aching body.
Muscles.
And my feet slipped in the tub and I hit my head. I kind of knocked myself out in the tub. And just a little bit not as sharp as I normally am.
It's okay.
And then no one's here helping me technically. So I'm doing okay, but I'm so sorry about all this, all these issues. So you can call in questions for Sylvia at 347-637-2379 is our call-in, or send it to me at Facebook or Richard Rossi Live Gmail. Any questions you want to ask? Great. Thank you. Susan's letting us know she can hear it good. People are still starting to let me know everything's sounding good, and we've been fine for a while.
Excellent.
So you started the masseuse-type things, and then, so we're talking like many, many people. It gets to be almost like you have to detach, I would imagine, to get through this. You can't really connect with all these people, obviously, in a real intimate way. It's almost like, you know, what, hundreds or thousands of people over the years, where it's just like maybe some of them are attractive or maybe some of them it's fun for a moment, but I imagine did you have to kind of almost disassociate or detach to even get through this sort of a thing?
Yeah, towards the end of my time doing that stuff, I just wanted to kill myself because I felt so dead and empty. It was awful. It was really bad.
And you mentioned...
And I knew I was just crazy. Just crazy. It made me insane.
Well, what
absolutely
I love is
insane.
That you tried all these different things. You really did the work. You mentioned talk therapy, so you started to see a therapist as a start, right? Was that what you meant by talk therapy, talking to a counselor?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
yoga?
Yes.
That probably helped you with the body and the breathing?
Absolutely, yes.
And then you got into the 12-step movement. The 12 steps is something that has really worked as well, too, huh?
Absolutely. Because of my family, I couldn't see anything in myself first. All I could do was blame everybody. So I saw my sister sober up in AA, and I knew I was an alcoholic, but I knew that that there was something really wrong with me. So my first 12-step program was Al-Anon for the friends and families of alcoholics.
That's a great program.
And there it's great. I learned to put the focus on myself there instead of just pointing the finger outward. Oh, it's everybody else's fault that I'm a prostitute, blah, blah, blah. I couldn't see that my... And then in Al-Anon, I figured out I also had a problem with food, and I started FA, Food Addicts and Recovery Anonymous, and lost 30 pounds there and stopped being bulimic. And then from there, I went to SLAA, Sex and Love Addicts Anonymous, and learned a lot about boundaries. It's a great program. Oh, my gosh, I feel like it gave me my life and a whole... Actually, all 12-step programmers, they all help me become a much more whole, grounded person. And but what I'd really love to do right now, Richard, is tell you the rest of the books that I recommend at the FOPP program. Because they're so great. They're so great. So after the John, Sex for Sale, and The Men Who Buy It by Victor Malarek, I recommend Refuse to Do Nothing by Shaney Moore and Kimberly McOwen Yim. And that book's about two soccer moms down in Southern California. One, they both have children. One goes to a conference about human trafficking, and she just starts sobbing at the conference. She's like, I can't believe this is going on, and I'm going to do something about it. And she enrolled her friend, and they wrote this book, Refuse to Do Nothing, and there's all kinds of stuff about what you can do, just the average person, people you can call, things you can do to stop porn and prostitution. And what I learned from reading that book, the biggest thing is that there are 27 million people being trafficked globally, and 80% are women and children for prostitution. And I was so struck by that statistic. Like, it just hit me in the head. I couldn't believe it. And slavery is alive and well. It's bigger than ever. And I just really want people to know that, you know, the average person doesn't go around thinking, oh, human trafficking is huge. And, you know, like, I just, the media doesn't publish that. I mean, there's been a lot about human trafficking, but there really is stuff you can do. And I want to put out the, if you even think that there's a massage parlor in your neighborhood that looks suspicious, or if you come across anybody that's too young and looks like they're out there hustling, you can call the National Human Trafficking Hotline, 888-373-7888, and they will get on it. And I think that's
888-373, what was that again?
7888.
888-373-7888. This is great for me to do this because of the background I come from. I had an uncle, Cadillac Joe, who was a mobster, and I had a bunch of the massage places in my hometown running.
Oh,
and,
oh my gosh.
Yeah, so I, as a little blonde-haired, blue-eyed boy, could play guitar at a young age, 7, 8, play jazz arrangements of songs. So I would come out and play at these places before the girls would come out and dance, and they were all like my mother figures in the dressing room walking me out to the stage, and these, you know, strippers would come out and everything. So just from the background I grew up, to be able to share this is fantastic. And Shiva in Orlando is asking, what are some of the main things you've learned coming out of this experience? What are some of the things you've learned in your own growth, some of the best things you've learned in your spiritual journey out of this, Sylvia?
I feel that I've have so much more compassion for men. Men, because of our culture, if they show feelings, people look at them like, oh, why are you showing feelings? Be a man. But then if they act like strong, you know, men, then they're like, why can't you show your feelings?
Yeah,
so I feel like men, it is tough. Like, men just have the hardest walk. Women have it tough too. But again, I just feel like I have so much compassion for men now. And I didn't. I always feared men. I feared them. And so a lot of compassion for men. Also a sense that prostitution is sexual abuse. They want to say that it's an like I just heard last. I can't believe it. One of my friends is an EA, and she told me that Congress a long time ago made one of the tax laws. She does taxes. Is mm-hmm. that they can count off, they get the boob job, and that they can discount it on the tax thing. And I'm just like, oh my God.
A sex
I was
worker
so
can,
angry
can,
to
can
hear.
Can claim that.
Yes.
Oh wow.
And
that's
I'm like,
so nuts.
What?
You know, I
it's
have
way up there. It's like no.
I have a close female relative who has got breast cancer from doing that.
Yes.
And so, and a dear friend of mine, who's an Academy Award nominated actress, Sally Kirkland, has started mm-hmm. a ministry to help women to try to get them not to do that, because so many women have got cancer and all kind of problems from injecting all those chemicals into their breasts. Why? Because culture has brainwashed them that you're not a woman, you're not attractive enough unless you have these huge breasts. And so I'm kind of shocked. I had no idea they you could deduct that.
Yes, me too. I just heard that last night. I'm like, oh, no, really? Because it's been so indoctrinated into our – I think I said that wrong. But it's been so foisted on us that it almost seems normal. Everybody watches porn. Oh, yeah, sure, people go to prostitutes. Like, it's normalized. It's normalized. It's not normal. It's mental illness. Porn and prostitution, sexual abuse, mental illness. That's the biggest thing that I've learned. And – oh my gosh. I've started dating this man and he's like, porn's okay once or twice a week. I'm like, no, it's not. And he stopped watching porn. I'm like, wow, we're going to go
so,
on another date.
That speaks a lot for how much he thinks of you and how much he likes you, that he's willing to alter his behavior.
It's not just because he likes me, because he sees that it's hurting him. So I really feel like porn damages people. And not just the person that's watching it, but their family. Like, a lot of men will spend a lot of time watching it and neglect their family. And also I think porn is a gateway to, oh, my wife won't do it, but I'll go try this prostitute out. And see if I can do what I saw in the porno. And I just think it's unconscious.
Yeah,
it's
so it chips
really
away at
unconscious.
The ability to be intimate and to love and to be present with that person.
Yes. Yes. Oh, I quickly want to go back to that book list, because there's so many great books out
yes.
there.
Yes, so far we have Refuse to Do Nothing, and then we have another one you mentioned was...
The John Sex for Sale and the Men Who Buy It. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the John
the
Sex for Sale. And what were some of the other ones?
The one that I recommend is Paid For, My Journey Through Prostitution by Rachel Moran. And basically I cried my way through this book. So it's about this woman in Ireland, and her parents met in an insane asylum. And then they both got out, they got married, they had kids, but they had no life skills. And so they had a bunch of kids. One of them was Rachel. She ended up on the street at age 14. And she was a prostitute from age 14 till 21 or 22. She had a kid and just kind of was so burnt on the whole thing. And thank God she had a long lost relative that helped her after she got out. She went to college. She got a job. She was unsatisfied in the job. She's like, I need to go back. And what she did is she got it together in Ireland and changed the laws. So it's rougher on the people that rent prostitutes. So Sweden is the only country in the world where the rates of prostitution are lowered, because they call it criminalizing demand. And what is criminalizing demand? Criminalizing demand is where they come down really hard, not on the women or the prostitute, on the people that are soliciting the prostitutes, and they heavy fines and jail time and advertising their faces so everyone can see. But it's working. It's working.
Wow.
So she got the laws changed in Ireland. Oh, such a great book. And she really doesn't go too much into the actual experiences, but she goes into her feelings about what it was like to be a prostitute. And I just cried and cried and cried reading that book. I just really recommend it. And can I tell you about the next book? It's so good.
Sure.
Trafficked by Sophie Hayes, and it's a powerful story of a woman forced into prostitution. Again, a young woman, mom okay, dad really abusive, so she had that ability to disassociate and didn't make wise choices in her relationships, and met a man at a club really young. He befriended her for 4 years, and he caught her in between high drama relationships, took her to Italy, and they had like the honeymoon for a week, and then he turned on a dime and turned her out on the street for 6 months, prostituted her. And it's her fight to come back from that. Again, a very powerful story. Loved it. And so there's this one bit in my speech at the FOPP thing, and I just want to read it. Why did I mention porn in my title? I consider porn, filmed prostitution, porn is the gateway to unconscious, numbed out relating sexually. And I believe that porn and prostitution breaks down healthy intimacy between human beings. I believe demand should be criminalized globally. Yep, yep. And then the next part of my presentation at FOPP is, so you stop watching porn, you stop soliciting prostitutes. What do you do then? So all these men that don't know any better, they stop the behavior, but a lot of them go back because they don't know what to do or how to get their needs met. So I made another, the second half of my book list is books recommending what to do, how to be healthy. And yeah, so the first book I recommend in that list is called Out of the Shadows, Understanding Sexual Addiction. Patrick Carnes, he's like the
great book.
It's totally, in the preface, I highlighted, we cannot evolve further until men and women treat each other differently. Respect for sexual preference, the protection of children from inappropriate and abusive behavior, the reduction of sexual shame, and the celebration of sexual joy will emerge naturally with a shift to non-patriarchal, non-competitive, and non-exploitive values about sex. And I just want to stand up and say, hooray! Hooray! Wrote that. I mean, that's brilliant. Yes, yes, yes. And then I also recommend The Multi-Orgasmic Man by Mantak Chia. And he's a spiritual teacher, and he incorporates Taoist practices and meditation into sexual experience without porn, without prostitution, and just taking, going within about taking a different look at how to have sex. And from that, from the back cover, I want to read, I'm pleased to recommend The Multi-Orgasmic Man. The author's holistic and non-mechanical approach to lovemaking is a perspective for which American men have been long overdue. Yay! Yay! Another great book title is called Healing Sex. And this is a newer book, Healing Sex, A Mind-Body Approach to Healing Sexual Trauma by Stacey Haynes. And the whole book is about how do you have sex when you have sexual trauma?
Wow, that's a big one because we've had shows about sexual trauma where I can remember some callers, like a wife that, just freaked out on her wedding night because it brought back memories of, incest and molestation from her dad. And sometimes it's triggering when there's been that kind of trauma for people to even have sex in a healthy, committed relationship.
Yes, that's right.
That's a very needed thing to address.
It is. It is. And I pass all these books out. I have all these books at the FOPP presentation. I pass them out. I hold them and jump up and down. I'm like, read this. Like, this is an amazing book. But this is a solution. And I just want to say, 13 years ago when I started presenting at that public speaking gig, I would just get up, start talking about my life, and start crying. I wasn't healed enough to offer solution. And I just want to say I'm so proud of myself to read these books, heal myself, and help others get free. Because I really feel like when you solicit prostitutes, when you look at tons and tons of porn, you're being a predator. And people that are predators, 99%, they've been preyed upon. Somebody messed with them.
That's right. Hurt people hurt people. The last one.
That's right.
On healing, on healing sex. What was the author's name on that book?
Stacy Haynes, Stacy Haynes.
Mm,
she's okay. Just terrific. Yeah, she's just terrific. Boy, I love that book. And it just offers all kinds of, in the back there's a huge resource guide, you know, all kinds of healing groups, things to do to help yourself. Be healthy. Yay, be healthy. Be healthy sexually.
Well, we are proud of you, and you are just such a hero. And we went past our show's time. So basically what's happening is when people click the link that we put out to listen live, these minutes that we went over with some of these additional books, they can hear it all on the replay. But the live, we lost the last minute or so because we had a 40-minute show or so. And we've been over, but but anybody that clicks the link that we share this link with, in perpetuity, the link's good. Sylvia, I'm so glad you came on, and I am so sorry that we had technical problems in the beginning, but it sure was worth, for everyone to endure that for a few minutes to get to your story. It's been one of the most powerful shows we've ever done. And
maybe you can
come back on, another time in the future where we don't have those things, but because this is an issue that needs to be addressed again and again and again. I mean, our sexuality is such a deep component of who we are, and to understand it in a healthy way, you are such a wonderful guide to speak firsthand about your journey. And I'm just proud of you and proud that you're, welcoming healthy information and love into your life and helping so many others through this, speaking to these men the way you are.
Thank you. Thank you. And I just want to, if anybody thinks that they might be a sex addict, please watch The Courage to Love, a documentary on sex addiction. It's free. It's on YouTube. It's my story. It's the filmmaker's story and two other men's story, their journey through sex addiction. And it also offers solutions. And
it's a great
film.
I'm so
proud of it.
And that's how we found you, Sylvia, The Courage to Love on YouTube. I think there's another dramatic film with that title, so just to make sure you get the right one, maybe search The Courage to Love Sex Addiction, something like that.
Yes.
Or what's the director? Was it Paul? The director's name, Paul?
Paul Ganocchio. Oh, he's a superhero.
Yeah,
he
did a great job. So The Courage to Love, Paul Ganocchio, Sex Addiction. Watch it for free on YouTube. I think it's about an hour. And
yes.
Sylvia's one of three stories, and the other two guys are just great in there as well. The other two stories, one was a talent scout, a sports talent scout that got busted for compulsion to exhibitionism. And then there was another young musician on there that also was acting out very dangerously with multiple men, and then Sylvia's story.
Yeah.
So that's a great, great film. That's how we found Sylvia. And I just pray and wish nothing but blessings ahead for you. And I know the best is yet to come. It's like the story in the Bible where it says Jesus changed the water into wine, and they said, why do you have the best wine at the end of the wedding? Normally you serve the best wine at the very beginning of the wedding, and then when everyone's kind of drunk, you serve them the cheap stuff. And Jesus talked about, I saved this wine for the second half. And I see that your life, the best is ahead for you, not behind you.
Absolutely.
And always, Sylvia.
Yes. Yeah, and also I want to say older women are so valuable. There's a lot of value put on women in their childbearing years, but really older women are so smart and full of wisdom and joy and have so much to give. Yay!
Yeah, all that life experience
and
our culture tries to make you feel like your 20s or 30s, that was the big time, and it's, there's such a worship of the youth culture today, but you have so much wisdom and life experience now to really, really enjoy life now in a way you couldn't when you were just numbing out in those early years.
And Richard, I just want to say you're amazing.
Aww,
and that
I
listened to Dealing with Flesh, a good girl's journey through sex addiction.
Oh, yes.
With Bridget.
That's a
Walton.
Friend of mine, Birgit, who also, she was a prostitute back in the day. She's been a very long-term old friend of mine. And I thank you for taking the time to listen to that. She's been through a lot. And I tell you what, I was encouraging her as a friend to write her story. And she agonized, and it was years of kind of mutual encouragement to get her to write that.
Mm-hmm.
And she had the courage to write her story like you put out your story.
Yeah, she's brilliant. And then also Getting Off Crazy Train with Lori Jean Glass, brilliant.
Oh,
brilliant.
Yeah. It was so nice to talk
wow.
to her, too, because I was in a very bad state when I did that interview of grief. My youngest brother died in the
so
past
sorry.
Year of an overdose of heroin laced with fentanyl, according to the autopsy. Fentanyl was probably what killed him there. But he's my youngest brother, and I'm the oldest of five kids, and my parents were busy, and my mom's trying to keep the business going, our music studio business going. My dad was in and out of a mental hospital with bipolar issues. So as the oldest son, sometimes I would take care of him. So I had this feeling with him, like, because he was the youngest and I was the oldest, like he was my son and my brother in many ways. I gave him his bottle as a little kid. And so when I did the interview with Lori Jean Glass, who really works in addiction, I was just, you know, in such a rough state, you know, but, you know, holding it together, the show must go on, right? And, that was a great show, and she had a lot of insight.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me on this show. It's such a privilege.
Oh, you're most welcome. I sure wish I was better at dealing with the technical curveballs in the beginning, but you know what? We at least have, you know, 45, 50 minutes of your story here once we got everything settled. And so I'm putting it out to everybody to just, on the replay, just get through that technical first few minutes, and it's worth listening. And so you enjoy the rest of your holiday. I hope you get to have some rest today on Memorial Day, and thank you for your courage to share your story, Sylvia.
Thank you, Richard. Okay, happy holiday to you, too. Okay.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, and God bless you. And God bless all of you for listening in, and please share this link. It's a powerful story and worth sharing. And get those books that Sylvia talked about. God bless you. Go with God and be blessed.